हरिः ॐ
Chapter 12 summarized as questions and answers, page 103. Question 63 of Srimad Bhagavatam is asked by Rudra of Brahma. Question 63, 312.8. O destiny maker, teacher of the universe, kindly designate my name and place. Answer. The answer of Brahma to this question is found in verses 9 through 14. He names Rudra and his 11 expansions and gives them wives and duties. Question 64 of Srimad Bhagavatam is asked by Vidura of Maitreya. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.12.36. Kindly explain to me how and with whose help Brahma established the Vedic knowledge which emanated from his mouth. Maitreya answers this question from verses 37 to 57, ending this chapter. Earlier questions asked in this chapter are questions 50, 52, and 58. Question 50, 355. How does the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the independent, desirous Lord of the three worlds, and the controller of all energies, accept incarnations and create the cosmic manifestation with perfectly arranged regulative principles for its maintenance? Right? So he's gone through and explained it, and then again with time, and now again he's going through it. Because there's so many aspects that to get them all to happen at once, if you've already heard everything, then you could explain it like that. Right? That's the whole point of a thematic study, is that then you see the whole thing put together like that. But otherwise, then you have to introduce each item as you can appreciate it. Otherwise, then there'll be a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. Question 52, Srimad Bhagavatam 359. Please also describe how Narayana, the creator of the universe and the self-sufficient Lord, has differently created the natures, activities, forms, features, and names of the different living entities. Right? Because he's created it. Otherwise, then there's the idea, if we don't understand he's created it, then we think we can do with it as we please. You know, animals, trees, everything that was here is created simply for us. And that means we can do with it as we like. Now one could complain, no, but the material world is here for us, right? But the point is, does that mean that you use it how you like?
This is that the animals and plants are also part of us.
Yeah, there's also that, if you want to get into go. I say. Brahma Jyoti on us here, then yes, definitely. Because everything's just the same energy, just for you. But what I'm meaning is higher as the laws. It's just like, let's say, the parents have given the room for the child to use. They've given the bed, the closet, everything that's there. But now can they do whatever they want with it? No.
They can try.
Yeah, that's there, you know, and then there's being grounded for 3 months, right? You know, or the rest of your life.
So the six
you're permanently grounded for... Yeah, but when I grow up and I get married, I'll leave the house. No, you're grounded. You can't leave. You can't even go to your wedding. You're going to have it in your closet. Yes. Yeah, so the whole idea is that if we understand that the everything is here for us to use, but how we're supposed to use it, right? Then that's then starts to bring regulation into the life. That starts to bring everything into the life. Yes.
It's written here that Narayan, he created the nature's activities, etc. Lord Brahma, he also creates the nature?
No, he just manifests. The nature, what is the nature of a particular entity? What is the activity? What's the form? What's the feature? What's the names? That's all created by Krishna. Brahma simply manifests it.
Can we say that nature is just a combination of the modes?
That's how it's functioning. But let's say that, you know, a dog has a particular nose and has 4 feet. You know, it runs along and then suddenly stops and, you know, scratches and stuff like that. You don't see other animals do that. You know, that's specifically dogs do that. So that's created by Krishna. That a dog has its nature, that it has its activity, that it has its form, its features and names, that's created by Krishna. Brahma just manifests it. Does that make sense? Like you have a designer. They design something. And then you have people that just make it. Does that make sense? You know, you've designed the whole thing, and then you give it, somebody puts it together. But they don't come up with the idea of what it's like and everything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's why Prabhupada calls Brahma the engineer of the universe. So he applies and manifests what the architect of the universe already put together. Does that make sense? Yes. So if we understand that, then that means things work according to their already existing nature. They don't change. Because our idea is, no, we can do whatever we like with it. You know, we're free. We're the topmost in the universe. We're the pinnacle of evolution. And so, therefore, mankind can do whatever they want, right? No?
It sounds good.
It sounds good, yeah. But the problem is you do what you want, and then somehow or another, then, you know, there's a, you know, a hurricane or, you know, something else interesting, you know, comes up. You know, like, before it was AIDS, now the new how you say
you?
Yeah, the new what do you call? Is a name for it, like when it's a fashion thing.
Fad? New trend.
Huh?
Trend.
Yeah, the new trend, the new fad is Ebola, right? Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, it's like a, you know.
HIV is so last decade.
Yes, HIV is so old. You know. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, designer. That's it. You know.
Designer?
The designer disease.
No, oh, okay, like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's always changing, always going. It means we think we're in control, but it doesn't appear we're really in control.
Not always.
No. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the difficulty. So if we understand that Krishna created it this way, then we can't use it not in the way it's supposed to be used. So that means then there's a nature of everything. That means then there's something that everything should be engaged in. And we shouldn't be using otherwise, right? Cows produce milk, you know, not, you know, how you say, meat.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Seems pretty.
So that's the nature of it. Right? The activity is to walk around eating grass, not to sit in a pen. You know? So that way then it regulates what we do with everything. Otherwise, the tendency is we'll do with anything the way we see we'll get benefit from it. But the idea is that, no, you have to deal with it as it's supposed to be dealt with. Therefore, Dharma is there. So the Varnashram system defines all this. Is that, yes?
It sounds like living entities, they have two natures. One is eternal and one is conditioned. Is that correct?
Means the jiva itself.
Yes.
Yes. But within conditioned, then if you follow the natural form of that conditioning, then everything's harmonious.
According to the God's law.
Yes, according to God's law. But if we don't follow that, that's when there's problem. If there's problem in the world, in general, that's because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. You wouldn't have as much trouble as now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? like that. There's always going to, even if everything's perfect, there's still the trouble that you're going to die. Mm-hmm. You know? So you know, something remains, though it becomes immensely less. You know, you're just going to die because you're old. It's time to go, right? Rather than, you know, you happen to be just, how you say, looking at your front window, you know, just, you know, is morning to check and like that, and you notice this funny kind of gang out walking down the street, and then you notice this loud car driving by, and then the guys in the car start to shoot all the people, that strange group, but because you happen to be in the window behind them, you also get hit. So you don't have to worry about that stuff. Right?
Which is good.
Which is good, yes. It's not bad. Therefore, you might definitely only look out the window if you're on the second floor, right? Right. Unless, of course, the guys in the cars are midgets, then, you know. And you still got a problem. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's why it's important. Otherwise, it's okay, we've heard this. Why all this technical? Because there is an exact nature, activity, forms, features, names of everything. So we can do with it as we like, but then we're going against nature, right? Everything. Yeah. Question 58, 3723-37. Please relate the events of creation after the Virat-Ruth stage. So Brahma's creation. So again, other aspects are being explained.
Yes. Didn't we describe this?
No, but then what about the Prajapatis, the Manus? Yeah, because that all is then like that. So much of these events.
Events.
Yeah, you know, it's been. But now here's something more is coming. Yeah. Just you have all the places, 14 planetary systems, and all that. But the problem is now you need to fill it up. Yeah, so you can see that Brahma was not Swedish. Otherwise you go,
no, this is fun.
I'm on this planet, I'm great, okay, we got 14 planets, we'll make 13 other people. We're cool. We're good. Yeah, so. Yeah, like that, so. Yeah, creation would be a lot simpler that way, right? You know, then you only have 14 people to worry about, you know.
One IKEA.
Huh?
One IKEA.
Yeah, that's it. Take care of everything. You in fact to run it once a week also. That's the idea of Prakashika. In the 12th chapter, Brahma, after creating the Kumaras, Marichi, Dharma, and Adharma, produces a couple from his body to increase the population. Maitreya continues to describe the further creations of Brahmadev. Brahma first created the Neshan engagements and then the four Kumaras, right? Because the Neshan engagements, then that's how everybody's going to be absorbed, right? Without the Neshan engagements, who's actually going to like it here, right? Unless you're, covered by illusion, right? Why would you like Fifth Avenue or Times Square, right? It's crazy, right? You know, but people like it because of nescience, of ignorance, madness, all these different things. So he created that so that everything can go nicely. But having done that, feeling bad, then he makes the Kumaras, right? Because they're kind of the opposite. They're
the other direction.
They're good, nice. You know, the four nice engagements of religion. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why Kumaras and Marichi are mentioned? Kumaras is the fundamentals and Marichi is the materials? Because he created so many stages.
I don't know, we'll have to see. However, these Kumaras are first to create further. I guess that answers that. Marichi didn't have that problem. Brahma in anger generated a destructive force, Rudra. Rudra requested Brahma to give him a name and a place. Brahmadev gave him Rudra and gave him 11 other names that became Rudra's 11 expansions. Brahma ordered the Rudras to procreate within their universe. The Rudras were to engage in meditation. Brahmadev then manifests from his own body 10 sages, then religion, irreligion, lust, and desire. The sage Kardamo is manifest from the shadow of Brahma. Maitreya narrates Brahma's lust for his own daughter. When Brahma was respectfully reproached by his sage sons, he gave up his body, which became fog in the darkness. Brahma's four mouths. Brahma next manifests the four Vedas and the paraphernalia for sacrifice, the principles of religiosity in the four ashramas. Vidura asks, so it's still pretty, more principle-based at this time. So it's going to take a while before it gets down to your house and your furniture and stuff like that, right? Vidura asks how and with whose help Brahma established Vedic knowledge. And Maitreya described how all Vedic sciences and activities became systematically manifest, one after another. Brahma then lamented when he saw that the creation was not yet filled with population. As he thought in this way, Manu and Satyarupa, two forms, one male and one female, were generated from his body and they united. Manu begot in the course of time five children, two males, Uttanapada and Priyavrata, and three females, Akuti, Devahuti, and Prasuti. From them, the world filled with population. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 through 27, Brahma creates the four Kumaras, Rudra, and the 10 sages. Verses 28 to 48, the secondary creation continues. Verses 49 to 57, Brahma creates Swayambhuva Manu and Satyarupa. Verses 1 to 27, Brahma creates the four Kumaras, Rudra, and the 10 sages. After outlining the potency of the Lord's form as Kala, Maitreya continued to describe the further creation of Brahma. The purport of the creation is to house souls who have rejected their identity as Krishna's servants and who wish to live as if they existed independent of their Lord. Therefore, in the first phase of the Visarga, Brahma created the Neshan engagements like self-deception, the sense of death, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership, and the illusory bodily conception, or forgetfulness of one's real identity. 1 and 2. Srila Prabhupada in his purport to verse 2 explains the five kinds of neshans. Before the factual creation of the living entities in different varieties of species, the conditions under which a living being in the material world has to live were created by Brahma. Unless a living entity forgets his real identity, it is impossible for him to live in the material conditions of life. Therefore, the first condition of material existence is forgetfulness of one's real identity. And by forgetting one's real identity, one is sure to be afraid of death. Right? Because one's real identity is eternal. This next identity we've taken up is false, so it's temporary. So naturally, if it's temporary, there's death. Right? Although a pure living soul is deathless and birthless, this false identification with material energy is the cause of false ownership of things, which are offered by the arrangement of superior control. If I have false, identity, then I'm going to have false ownership, because it's not actually mine. Right? Now, in the spiritual world, one has a particular form that is you, and you have a particular place you stay that is your place. Right? But here, because the identity is false, naturally ownership is going to be false. Does that make sense?
Can we say that all ownership by definition is false, because in the spiritual world we don't have, when we say your place, it's the place I'm supposed to be, it's not my place?
Yes, but that would only be in support of the concept that everything is always connected to the Lord.
Yes.
But if you're talking about pastimes in relation to the Lord, then what's the importance of that mentality? You understand? On the Bhagavan platform, these aren't important. No? These are important on the Brahman and Paramatma levels, because we, being attached to the body, we have to try to get rid of them.
Yes.
So therefore, that kind of mentality then is useful, but we apply it more here than there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not important that we say, well, that's not actually Mother Yashoda's house. You understand? It's not actually Vrinda's garden, you know, it's like that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why it's... That's why it's mentioned that the knowledge is important up to liberation, but after that it doesn't have a position. Then we're just learning the details of rasa. So that's science, that's useful. So we can say, oh, but that's knowledge. But no, that's the basis of how you're going to interact. It's not knowledge meaning I can tell the difference between matter and spirit. This is then I can understand the variety within spirit. Right? So then knowledge becomes subservient to the pastimes. Rather than here, they become superior to the pastime. Right? Whatever your pastime and conditioned state is, knowledge is superior to that. Right? Karma is junior to jnana. But in the spiritual world, it reverses. Yeah.
That means art is higher than science in the spiritual world.
Yes, but it's all based on science, but the whole point is to express the art because it's to please Krishna. That's why here, as people move more into enjoyment, it's all about the art, not about the science. Right? Nerds aren't known for enjoying themselves.
Not much.
Right? They talk about it, but they're always lamenting that there's always someone else who's got it, and they don't have it. You know? Unless they're talking about a new chip or something, then... Yeah, and not the kind of fish, right?
Exactly. That would be some taste, at least.
Yeah, but somehow they will.
So when we're in the spiritual world, learning the final points, that's more like learning an art than a science, or
it's a science. But the point is the science is only being science is always the basis of art.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because the masculine is always the basis of the feminine.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just that it's only in support of. Right here, it's major because it will get us out of the material world.
Yeah.
It will break down our attachment to the material world. But it's not. But in the spiritual world, it's for enhancing. It's just like time. Time is there, but only to support the pastime. Space is there to support the pastime. So that means knowledge and science is there to support the pastime. So they have more knowledge than anybody. Right, because they being the origin, then all knowledge is coming from them. Right? Does that make sense? So especially since knowledge is a feminine aspect, so these are the females that it's from. Does that make sense? Yeah. All material resources are offered to the living entity for his peaceful living. And for the discharge of the duties of self-realization and conditioned life. Means that's the nature, that's what they're for. So if you don't use it like that, then that's going against the nature that Krishna already created. But due to false identification, the conditioned soul becomes entrapped by the sense of false ownership of the property of the Supreme Lord. Right? Because if it's yours, you can do what you like. If it's Krishna's, then you should deal with it as it should be dealt with. It is evident from this verse that Brahma himself is a creation of the Supreme Lord, and the five kinds of nescience with condition, which condition the living entities in material existence, are creations of Brahma. It is simply ludicrous to think that the living entity to be equal with the Supreme Being, when one can understand that the conditioned souls are under the influence of Brahma's magic wand. Right. So the point is they're under Brahma. Brahma's created by Krishna. So how can you think that they're independent? Right, or he's equal with the Lord. Right, the Maya body thinks that he is equal with the Lord. He's under Brahma's illusion.
Not impressive.
Patanjali also accepts that there are five kinds of nescience, as mentioned herein, footnote 26. In Yoga Sutras, Patanjali says, "Avidya asmita, raga dvesha bhinivesha, ignorance." Tamas, false identity, moha, attachment, maha moha. Okay, attachment is connected with the false identity, so moha and maha moha. Repulsion, tamisra, right? Because what you're not attached to, you'll be repulsed.
Yeah.
And fear of death, under tamisra. Okay, tamas, moha, maha moha, tamisra, and under tamisra. Are the five types of ignorance. Isn't there a hell named Andhra Tamisra?
Yeah.
So that must mean you're always afraid of dying. And probably because they're constantly putting you in situations where you would, like tossing you off a cliff, you know, and taking you back up and tossing you off again. I wonder if they have quotas, right? You know, this guy's got to be thrown off the cliff 100 times a day or something. You know, sorry, you're not up to your quota. You only did 80 today. You know? Vishnu Swami has said, ignorance of Swarup, false identity, hatred, fear, and lamentation are actually only two functions of avidya. Avarna and Vikshepa. Avarna is called avidya, tamas, or ajnana, and Vikshepa is called asmita, moha, or viparyasa. Attachment, hatred, and fear of death, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, though they are qualities of the mind, are types of Vikshepa. Not being as prominent as Vikshepa, they are included in it. From Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary of verse 2. Right, so, in other words, all five are there, but they're just taking that three of them are secondary aspects of one of them. So he's saying actually there's just two kinds of illusion.
Yes.
Yes.
One of the prominent aspects of Brahma's prayers is that he's afraid of death, but he is creating the principle of fear of death. Does that mean that he comes under influence by his own creation?
He's the one that manifests it. It's not that he's technically creating it. You know, but dealing with it, then he becomes affected because he is a created being. Does that make sense? You know, let's say like the guy creates a very special car, but then by driving it around, he generates the fear of what can happen if the car crashes. You know what I'm saying?
But he also prays to
not be affected by it. Because that's the whole point, is that you can easily become affected by the creation, because that's what he associates with all day. Right? Because every day, what we're talking about here, every day basically this is all done, except for those persons, you know, means the Kumaras and those who live for the lifetime of him, those aren't recreated again, but everything else is. Right? So then he has to deal with that every day. Does that make sense? Vikshepa. What did he say back here? Moha, illusion. So ignorance and illusion. So these first two, tamas, ignorance, and false identity, moha. So he's saying maha moha, tamisra, and andatamisra, those are just expansions of this moha. It's only because you have the false identity are you attached or repulsed, and then you have fear of losing that false identity. Does that make sense? So the acharya is pointing out, you can see the expansion, as Prabhupada showed. When there's ignorance, then there's false identity. Then from false identity, then comes all the attachment, repulsion, and fear of death. So it just makes it easy to understand mechanically how it works. So in other words, if there is repulsion, then you know there must be attachment. If there's attachment, you know there must be false identity. If there's false identity, there must be ignorance. Does that make sense? So you can just, Seeing such a misleading creation as a sinful task, Brahma did not feel much pleasure in his activity, and therefore he purified himself by meditation on the personality of Godhead. Then he began another term of creation. This creation was based not on ignorance, but knowledge, and thereafter the four Kumaras appeared from Brahma. Yes?
Technically, Brahma was born from the navel, the lotus, and then he heard the Vedas. The fourth person, he became enlightened. Then he created all these nations. And then we read that he created ignorance. And then he had to again purify himself.
Don't purify yourself?
I don't understand how, after being so much enlightened, that's what he created first. I'm not that about. wouldn't it be more natural to pray first the Kumaras being so enlightened and all those? Maybe?
No, because everything's based on ignorance. Means if you don't have these, you can't have the material existence unless you have this ignorance and false identity. As Prabhupada points out, if you're still remembering who you are in the spiritual world, very hard to be a pig. Very hard to be anybody here. You know what I'm saying? So they have to forget. They have to forget who they are, that they're servants of the Lord. Otherwise, why would they stay here? But the reason is they want to be separate from the Lord. That's why they've come here. So just to fulfill that desire, that's how it's unfolding. Okay, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. This and the following verses show who the functions of Vidya appeared in the form of the Kumaras and others from Brahma. In order to show that knowledge or vidya destroys ignorance or avidya. Right, so this answers that, because you put avidya, but then if you do the Kumaras second, then you understand knowledge destroys ignorance. Because if you do it the other way, then you've made all this nice stuff and then it falls apart, because now the ignorance destroys the knowledge. Brahma and others who live for the whole of Brahma's life entered into the Supreme Lord at the end of the first half of Brahma's life. First Purana. Just as Brahma appears from a lotus on the first day, in the second half of his life, as he did in the Padmakalpa the previous day, Brahma made the Kumaras and others appear at this time, though they actually live for Brahma's 100 years. Okay, so then that makes sense why there's two Pararthas. Is that everybody will enter back into the Lord after the first half of his life, and then on the first day of the second half, then everybody will come out again. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Like that. Otherwise, why divide it in two halves?
So that's the whole devastation happens after the first?
It's basically at the end of the day, pretty much everything's happening. It's just your satya lokas are remaining. So whether those also merge back in and then come back out, but somehow or another they get a fresher start in the second half. So. Brahma spoke to his sons after generating them. "My dear sons," he said, "now generate progeny. But due to their being attached to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they aimed at liberation, and therefore they expressed their unwillingness." 5. Prabhupada comments. The four sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, declined to become family men, even on the request of their great father, Brahma. Those who are serious about gaining release from material bondage should not be entangled in the false relationship of family bondage. People may ask how the Kumaras could refuse the orders of Brahma, who was their father and above all the creator of the universe. The reply is that one who is Vasudeva Parayana, or seriously engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, service of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, need not care for any other obligation. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, they were not inclined to produce progeny because karma yoga, producing ignorance, destroys knowledge. So that's the one aspect. If they're not interested, that's the only thing that if the spiritual master recommends, you don't have to follow. Right? Everything else you follow. But if he says you should get married, it's not something you necessarily have to follow. If the point is that absorption in the Lord. If it's a matter of prestige or this or that or what will your brahmachari friends think, then that's not important. Mm-hmm. Like that. So the four Kumaras, because they were absorbed in Vasudeva, therefore they didn't need to get married. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they went on the Brahma-Buddha platform, basically?
Yes. Yeah, that's why it says that they're half, they're from both creations. Right, so they're liberated, and they represent these. I didn't mention it. The four. The four things?
It's before.
Yeah.
It's 102, the fourth
one.
Shankhya
Yoga,
Vairagya, and Tapa.
Shankhya Yoga, Vairagya, and Tapa. Okay, so analyzation, renunciation, okay, and then austerity. What was the third one?
Vairagya
and tapas. So it's by those that you're going to get out of the material world. That you can overcome ignorance is by those four. Maitreya continues, at this, Brahma's mind became filled with anger, and this was certainly natural, considering the disobedience of his sons. Still, Brahma knew that the Kumaras were very spiritually advanced, and so he tried his best to suppress his anger. Being unable to do so, however, the anger came out from between his eyebrows, and instantly generated a child of mixed red and blue complexion. Upon his birth, this child began crying out, O teacher of the universe and maker of destiny, please designate a name and residence for me. Brahma pacified the child by saying, do not cry. I shall certainly do as you wish. You will be called Rudra because you have cried so anxiously. I have already selected the following places for your residence. The heart, senses, air of life, sky, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and austerity. 6 through 11. Srila Prabhupada in his purport to verse 11 explains the Rudra principle. The creation of Rudra from between the eyebrows of Brahma as a result of his anger, generated from the mode of passion, partly touched by ignorance, is very significant. In Bhagavad Gita 3:37, the principle of Rudra is described as Krodha, is described. Krodha, anger, is the product of kama, lust, which is the result of the mode of passion. When lust and hankering are unsatisfied, the element of Krodha appears, which is the formidable enemy of the conditioned soul. This most sinful and inimical passion is represented as ahankara, or the false egocentric attitude of thinking oneself all in all. Right? So you think yourself one all in all, right, from before. Therefore you have your, you know, identification of who you think you are. Then you have your attachment. Not getting that, then it generates anger. Such an egocentric attitude on the part of the conditioned soul, who is completely under the control of material nature, is described in Bhagavad Gita as foolish. The egocentric attitude is a manifestation of the Rudra principle in the heart, wherein Krodha, anger, is generated. Right, so therefore, the heart. This anger develops in the heart and is further manifest through various senses like the eyes, hands, and legs. Right? Because then you can tell someone's angry.
Yes.
Right? By how they're responding. Right? When a man is angry, he expresses such anger with red-hot eyes and sometimes makes a display of clenching his fists or kicking his legs. The exhibition of the Rudra principle is proof of Rudra's presence in such places. When a man is angry, he breathes very rapidly, so therefore air of life. And thus Rudra is represented in the air of life, or in the activities of breathing. When the sky is overcast with dense cloud and roars in anger, and when the wind blows very fiercely, the Rudra principle is manifested. And also when the sea water is infuriated by the wind, it appears in a gloomy feature of Rudra, which is very fearful to the common man. When fire is ablaze, we can also experience the presence of Rudra. And when there is an inundation over the earth, we can understand this is also the representation of Rudra. There are many earthly creatures who constantly represent the Rudra element. The snake, tiger, and lion are always representatives of Rudra. Sometimes because of the extreme heat of the sun, there are causes of heat stroke and due to the extreme coldness created by the moon, there are causes of collapse. There are many sages empowered with the influence of austerity and many yogis, philosophers and renouncers, who sometimes exhibit their acquired power under the influence of the Rudra principle of anger and passion. The great yogi Durvasa, under the influence of this Rudra principle, picked a quarrel with Maharaj Ambarish, and a Brahmin boy exhibited the Rudra principle by cursing the great king Parikit. Right, so that's the austerity. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms, austerity and also other practices like Shankhya, Yoga, and Vairagya, without bhakti as protection, become places of anger. Thus, the Pachetas are described as tapa dipita manyava, inflamed with anger because of austerity. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:4-5. So, it's one of the definitions of a muni. Right, is that they can curse and they become angry. So it's not that the anger is the important. Anger is just a symptom of their great austerity. Yeah. Right. So if there's austerity without bhakti, then anger comes up. If there's austerity with bhakti, then it's not important. Yes.
So does that mean if we become angry, if there are obstacles in our path of devotional service, that makes motives?
Yes. Like that, because otherwise, then it's just these things come up, so then you're It's for yourself personally, it's not a problem. If you have responsibility to correct others, then it may be there so that they understand what's right and wrong, but it shouldn't carry the nature of anger. You know what I'm saying?
But the symptoms might be the same.
Yes, but you know whether it's anger or it's just you're making the point so they understand, because if you speak very nicely, they may not catch it. Well, Lotus-Eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority, because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Right. So the point is without bhakti, then all these things, even though they're good, right, they're important, if they're not connected with bhakti, there's still a problem. Because through it, you elevate yourself, but because of that false identity, you become angry, and you always will make some mistakes, so you'll fall down again. Like that. Brahma continues. Besides Rudra, derived from the word Arodhi, which means having cried loudly, you will have 11 other names: Manu, Manu, Mahinasha, Mahan, Shiva, Ritadvaja, Ugrareta, Bhava, Kala, Vamana Dev, and Dirtavrata. You will also have 11 wives called Rudranis, and their names will be Dhi, Driti, Rasala, Uma, Niyut, Sarpi, Ila, Ambika, Iravati, Swadha, and Diksha. Since you are one of the Prajapatis, you may now begin to increase the population on a large scale. 12-14. Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 14 is culturally enlightening, dealing with rights and obligations. Brahma, as the father of Rudra, selected the wives of his sons, his living places, and his names as well. It is natural that one should accept the wife selected by one's father, just as the son accepts the name given by the father, or as he accepts the property offered by the father. Right? You guys say, okay, the name, but why the duties? What about the property? Yeah, that too.
So it's pick and choose.
Yeah, it's pick and choose. So the baby is the package deal. Right? Yeah. We'll take the name and we'll take the property. The rest of it you can keep. That is the general course in increasing the population of the world. On the other hand, the Kumaras did not accept the offering of the father because they were elevated far beyond the business of generating a great number of sons. As the son can refuse the order of the father for higher purposes, so the father can refuse to maintain his sons in increasing population because of higher purposes. So that also goes both ways. So everything's very nice always and balanced. Yeah.
Always a catch.
Always a catch, yes. Thereafter, the sons and grandsons of Rudra, who all resembled him in bodily features and furious manner, became practically unlimited, and after assembling, they attempted to devour the entire universe. When Brahma saw this, he became very afraid, and so ordered Rudra, "My dear son, there is no need to generate living entities like this. With the fire emanating from their eyes, they have begun to devastate all directions. And indeed, they have not even hesitated to attack me. You had better perform penance so that you can approach the Supreme Lord and thus become empowered to properly recreate the universe as it was before." Footnote 27. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, "Such destructive activities of Shiva are not beneficial at the time of creation and maintenance of the universe. Thus he should engage in austerity, which will produce opposite results. Creation as previously. Produce opposite results. Creation as previously. Normally one would say, just as you destroyed the universe at the end of the previous kalpa, so afterwards you will also destroy it. Some persons explain that in some kalpas, Shiva acts as Brahma and also creates. Others say that the statement means that the Lord identifies himself as being one with Shiva, as he says in the following verse. By austerity I create, destroy, and maintain the universe again and again. My power arises from intense austerity." Okay, so just as he creates again, then it's either the Lord's potency is there, which will be the creation, or Shiva, as you mentioned here, some say, he didn't get into too much detail, that sometimes Shiva creates. Because sometimes there's not a Brahma, so then Shiva does it. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That would be when Krishna is the post of Brahma, it would be in the form of Sadashiva.
Yes, because the point is technically, everything within the material world is that aspect of tamasi.
Yeah.
So it all has that aspect of working with ignorance. Right? It's just a matter of which angle you're looking at it at the particular moment.
Yes.
But ultimately, it's all Krishna's potency.
Mm-hmm.
"For the time being, you should patiently wait for the period of dissolution, at which time your services will be called for." Rudra circumambulated his father and then entered the forest to perform austerities. 15-20. Srila Prabhupada states in his purport to verse 19, "Rudra was advised by Brahma to perform penance as an example to his sons and followers that penance is necessary for attaining the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavad Gita is said that the common mass of people follow the path shown by an authority. Thus Brahma, disgusted with the Rudra generations and being afraid of being devoured by the increase of population, ask Rudra to stop producing such an unwanted generation and take to penance for attaining the favor of the Supreme Lord." So Brahma, this is the whole point, is even though he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, there's always problems.
Yeah.
Like that. "We find, therefore, in pictures that Rudra is always sitting in meditation for the attainment of the favor of the Lord. Indirectly, the sons and followers of Rudra are advised to stop the business of annihilation, following the Rudra principle while the peaceful creation of Brahma is going on." So at the end of the creation, then people can go out and make trouble all they want. Yes.
Is there significance in Rudra being used every time there's a destructive principle, and usually when you see the picture of Shiva sitting in meditation, the name Shiva is used, that's more like auspiciousness, and the Rudra is a destructive principle?
Yeah, it might be. I'm not sure, but it's just, that's how they're using it here. So whether that's a standard principle, or it's, you know, that I'm not sure. But yeah, could be. But, you know, it's just called Rudra because of that element that he wanted to know who you know, what is his name is, what he should be doing. Yes. Brahma then manifests 10 great sages from different parts of his body. Nine of these, Marichi from the mind, Atri from the eyes, Angira from the mouth, Puleskya from the ears, Pulaha from the navel, Kratu from his hands, Bhrigu from his touch, Vishishta from his breathing, Daksha from his thumb were born. They were inclined to fruitive activities, and therefore the 10th sage, Sri Narad Muni, born of Brahma's deliberation, is considered best. Right, so you get the same principle. You create the ignorance and the knowledge to get out of that. Then you create the karma and then the bhakti of which you can perfect yourself. Narada was born of the best deliberation of Brahma because Narada was able to deliver the Supreme Lord to anyone he liked. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be realized by any amount of Vedic knowledge or by any number of penances. But a pure devotee of the Lord like Narada can deliver the Supreme Lord by his goodwill. The very name Narada suggests that he can deliver the Supreme Lord. Nara means the Supreme Lord and Da means one who can deliver. That he can deliver the Supreme Lord does not mean that the Lord is like a commodity that can be delivered to any person. But Narada can deliver to anyone the transcendental loving service of the Lord as a servitor, friend, parent, or lover, as one may desire out of one's own transcendental love for the Lord. In other words, it is Narada only who can deliver the path of Bhakti Yoga, the highest mystic means for attainment of the Supreme Lord. So it's by the grace of the devotee, in this case Narad Muni, then we can get. Otherwise, you can have all the knowledge, do all the austerity you want. It's not going to happen. It's only when through bhakti, as given by Narad, then that being applied in your life, then we get what we're looking for. Then we the Lord's pleased. Yeah. Maitreya continues. Brahma then manifested states of consciousness to accommodate the varieties of living entities and their individual desires.
So you take the lodges, but the lodges are so strong you can't talk anyway.
He created religion from his breast. The heart or breast is considered the best place since it is the location of affection. Right? Because that means religion must be based on the element of affection. So there's affection for the Lord, affection for the living entities, therefore everything goes very nicely.
Yeah. States of consciousness. Consciousness is not actually affected by the modes, so it's the
a state of consciousness, like German.
Yeah, German, you know, consciousness. French, we know,
yeah,
that.
It's,
yeah,
a state.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
No, doesn't work.
So it's like geography. Geography.
Just like in America, yeah, Texas. Yeah, that's a state of consciousness.
State.
Or California.
Hawaii.
Hawaii, yeah, see?
Okay.
Well, you understand.
Thank you.
All this time, you were wondering what it meant.
Yeah. It's clear.
No, state just means their particular existence.
It's just a combination of modes?
It's just a combination of modes. See, everything is a combination,
yeah,
of modes.
Yeah.
And as we see, then that's controlled by the time factor, which,
yes,
is controlled by the Lord. So then the modes function because of time. So it's just a combination of the modes. I mentioned that once Admatattva, he was visiting a scholar in Arissa somewhere, where I'm not sure. He had this old library, you know, of handwritten manuscripts. One of the manuscripts that he had was explaining what combinations of the modes produce what living entity. Like that, you know, so many parts of goodness, so many parts of passion, so many parts of ignorance, that creates this.
Yeah.
Then if you adjust this by this much, it adjusts the nose, or adjusts the color, it adjusts the this, that.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very unique kind of scripture.
Yeah, interesting.
The Lord Brahma creates, so he measures.
I'm not sure that he has to, you know, get at that.
get out that thing with all the, you know, which one do I want to use? Okay, we'll use the quarters. Is it, you know, is it keeping or is it just put that in? And, oops, okay. No, it's from his meditation. He can see, and then, you know, that's why he's Lord Brahma. He can understand what that combination is.
Just in case, who to blame for?
Yeah. Somebody's got to be to blame for this. Irreligion from his back. So the back's the whole problem. You know, he's got a problem with his back. You know, that's where we're so absorbed in irreligion. Right? Lust and desire from his heart. Because also that's the place where religion comes from. So even though you're religious, then lust and desire can distract you from that. Right? Anger from between his eyebrows. Greed from his lips.
So it says that Rudra resides in the heart, and also in Paramatma there. So it's religion communicating with Paramatma in the heart, and lust and desire communicating with the Rudra.
Yeah, it could be. But I'm saying it's all coming from the living entity, and then the problem is that from there you can get distracted. Then you may take up irreligious duties, or the lust and desire, you may become very inspired to do religious duties. If you're pious, then you do your great yajnas and all these things and austerities. So it all would come from there. Anger from between the eyebrows. Oh, okay. So then, I'm just thinking that how you say you beautify that with the, you know, so it doesn't, it comes out okay with the bindi, right? Make it attractive. The power of speaking from his mouth, the ocean from his penis, low and abominable activities from his anus, and the great sage Kardama Muni, the husband of the great Devahuti, from his shadow. Brahma manifested all these creations directly, either from his body or his mind. Right. So Kardama was there first, and then later on, Devahuti appeared from Swayambhuvamana. Okay, creation directly either from his body or his mind. Right. So they either from the mental aspect they were created, or from the body, or any combination. Srila Prabhupada states in his purport to verse 25. That religion was manifested from the place where the personality of Godhead is personally situated is very significant, because religion means devotional service to the personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita as well as the Bhagavatam. Right? So what we're trying for is pure devotional service, where we're doing devotional service to the Supreme Lord free from karma and jnana. Right? Yes. But you do it with karma and jnana, then it has the mixed devotional element. You increase that more, it's still, you have to apply bhakti, but then the problem is it's about yourself. So then we don't even call it technically bhakti. It's just karma and jnana. But it's only going to function because it's directed at the Supreme Lord.
Basically everything is bhakti misra jnana, bhakti misra karma, isn't it? Because anything works on bhakti, so technically you could say.
You could say, but when it gets so mixed, then we call it bhakti misra karma instead of karma misra bhakti.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I see, okay, yes. Yes, you can say that. But once you get to the point where there's an interest in actually serving the Lord, then it becomes karma misra bhakti. Yeah. Like that. So we only start from there in our general discussions and everything like that. But when we're talking about serious, we only talk starting from pure devotion. Right? Yes. In Bhagavad Gita, the last instruction is to give up all other engagements in the name of religion and take shelter of the personality of Godhead. So even though you're doing everything right and you're following religious principles, but unless that religious principle is being followed to please the Supreme Lord, that should be given up. It's not necessarily that the technical aspect that you're doing should be given up. It should be your intent on why you're doing it. Right? Does that make sense? The karmi is getting up early in the morning, you know, so his sadhana, morning yajnas and everything are being performed. The jnani is getting up early in the morning,
right? Because it is sadhana and meditation and puja and study. The bhakta is getting up early in the morning for his mangalarti, chanting, worshipping the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, but we've described the same exact activities for all three of them. So karma is actually a mentality. Jnana is a mentality, bhakti is a mentality. Then there's the recommended activities that these are performed through. So the standard activities. Does that make sense? Just like in a kitchen, there's standard ingredients, standard pots. Depending on what you're doing, you use particular pots or particular implements. Right? So that's what we're describing here. So it's standard stuff, so it's not a surprise that it's doing the same thing. Because generally we'll think, oh, you're doing something completely different. You know, I have this nice kitchen, I'm cooking for myself, now I'm going to cook for Krishna, I have to get rid of this kitchen. Right? And get something else. You know?
Bunsen burner.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Does that make sense? So, the whole thing is that there's standard things, but that's all given up. So the religion is actually defined by why you're doing it, right? Because in this case, we're talking about human religion, right? If you're practicing animal religion, then that should be given up, and then you should take up human. But within human, it should still be engaged in bhakti. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yes.
That's why Krishna says, sarva-karma pratyajaya. You know, no karma, no jnana.
Yes. It doesn't mean that you're giving up activities. It means that you're giving up those activities for the purpose of karma and jnana. And even the elements of bhakti you're following because it pleases him rather than it will get you knowledge, get you out of the material world, reduce your suffering like in this neophyte stage. You know, arti, jigyasa, like this. Mm-hmm. Is that you simply follow it because it pleases the Lord. So it may change what you're doing. In other words, if I'm following in cooking a recipe that is something that devotees wouldn't eat, I may change that. Right? Let's say I have that funny little hammer with the little spikes on it. I don't keep that one anymore. You know, unless someone, you know, is bothering me or something.
Maybe it's good for
scratch. Yeah, scratching your back, you know. It deals really well if Bart Simpson walks in, you know, like this, you know. Yeah. How do you think the top of his head?
Yeah, exactly. Like that? That's yeah. How he comes to
that. Okay. Right. So, like that. But then your frying pan, it would stay, right? You know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing is, what would be... So only if it's not useful in the religious process given by, recommended in bhakti, then only it's given up. But if it is, what changes is the mentality. So the main thing, that's why I said if you change the consciousness, you'll automatically adjust the other things. But if I change the other things, it doesn't mean I've changed the consciousness. Is that...
Yeah, that.
Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms that the highest perfection of religion is that which leads to the devotional service of the Lord, unmotivated and unhampered by material impediments. Yeah, so that does, unhampered by material impediments doesn't mean that it's, we're looking at the practical aspect. We're meaning that material desire.
Yeah. Too bad.
Religion, in its perfect form, is the devotional service of the Lord. And irreligion is just the opposite. So technically, religion is connected to the Lord. Irreligion is not connected to the Lord.
Yes.
So that's the actual Bhagavatam definition. So for us, even piety is not important. It just means a pious person generally has more of a tendency to take up shelter of the Lord if there's a problem. Right, but if there's no problem, then they generally don't. But the demon, whether it's problem or no problem, they still don't.
Yes.
That's the difference. You know, when times are good, nobody takes shelter of the Lord. When times are bad, then the pious takes shelter of the Lord. The impious doesn't.
And then it goes good again, and then the pious stop taking
like
shelter.
That. Yeah. The heart is the most important part of the body, whereas the back is the most neglected part. When one is attacked by an enemy, one is apt to endure attacks from the back and protect himself carefully from all attacks on the chest. All types of irreligion spring from the back of Brahma, whereas real religion, the devotional service of the Lord, is generated from the chest, the seat of Narayan. Anything which does not lead to the devotional service of the Lord is irreligion, and anything which leads to that the devotional service of the Lord is called religion. Right, so that which connected to the Lord who's sitting in the heart, then that's the actual religion. So that means that there must be an aspect that's not actual religion. And that's what's based on, what was it? Lust and desire. Right? Which is also in the heart.
Yes,
wasn't it? Yeah, lust and desire for his heart. But that may be an idea if you tend to be pious, to take up pious activities to develop. And then from that, you may get association with the devotees and take up devotional service. So in other words, the activities themselves aren't specifically bad for devotional service, but the mentality is. Does that make sense? So it may lead to, because when it does lead to, then if there does need to be any adjustment in the religious practice, that will be adjusted. Right?
Yeah.
Verses 28 to 48. The secondary creation continues. After describing the creation of the sons, Maitreya Muni describes further steps of the secondary creation. Brahma created a daughter, Vak, speech, but then fell under the influence of ignorance and became inappropriately attracted to her. The sages, headed by Marichi, respectfully brought to Brahma's attention the disturbance to religious principles his attraction would cause. Lust for sexual intercourse is so strong, however, that it appears herein that Brahma could not be dissuaded from his determination in spite of the appeal by his great sons like Marichi. Therefore, the great sons began to pray to the Supreme Lord for the good sense of Brahma. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who, by his own effulgence, while situated in himself, has manifest this cosmos. May he also protect religion for all goodness. Because he's created everything from his own effulgence, which means all the good qualities. So by his grace, then may Brahma also be that.
Yeah.
It's always interesting, always this point comes up. He's created everything which is situated in himself.
Yes.
Right? So there's always the manifestation of everything. He enters into everything, but all that's within himself.
Self-development.
Yeah, so it's that combination is always unique, and only he's the only one that has that. Okay. 28 to 32, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, though receiving these instructions, Brahma did not become enlightened. This indicates that lust will not dissipate unless the Supreme Lord shows mercy. Remembering this, the sages then surrendered to the Lord. Right? So they said, so it wasn't happening. So therefore, the only way you can remove this is by the Lord's grace. Does that make sense? So that's going to come up later, is that aspect of atonement. It's not going to actually function unless there is surrender to the Lord. It's only by the Lord's grace then there is actual purification. Because is the point that something's being done wrong, it shouldn't be done wrong, or is it that there should be punishment for doing wrong? Because otherwise then people may disturb my situation. Right? In other words, I have my situation, I like my situation. People do things wrong, it makes my situation insecure. If they're punished, then they'll be likely not to do that, so they don't bother my situation. Understand? That's the general basis for the concept of prayaschitta, or retribution.
Pranamoy.
Yes, like that. So then, because it's artha, it's not actually religion. People talk about it as religion, but it's sub-religion. Right? Religion is then what they're talking about, is that this is how things should go on because that's how people prosper. If you go against that, then people taking that example, it won't be prosperous. So therefore, we should do things properly. It's not about retribution. Right? But being unable to appreciate that, then they understood that the only way this will be understood is by the grace of the Lord. Because he's in the heart, he's knowledge, he's remembrance, he's forgetfulness. So by ignorance he's forgot, he's lost his knowledge, right? He's not remembering.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore it's by the Lord's grace that that will adjust, and then everything will go properly. So then that's the real path of correction, is this surrendering to the Lord. These other things aren't actually recommended. They're used in the material world because people, due to illusion and their attachment, they identify, this is me, so this is mine, and then, you know, they're attached, they have hatred, right, because that gives rise to retribution. Otherwise, how do you come out and sit down there with your crochet and your little chair and, you know, your lunch basket and sit there, you know, in the square while they bring out the guillotine and cut off everybody's head? There must be some hatred in the heart. Otherwise, one wouldn't find that as something to just sit there and pass your time, because it's you know, at the house is boring, and this is, you know, something.
Something's going on, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, some activity, some excitement, some, you know.
To see and be seen.
Yes, yeah, you know, by your friends. Yeah. And what do you have in your basket? Yeah. I don't know, nothing. Yeah, got it. So,
jump.
Why? Yeah.
We see from time to time Brahma overcome by ignorance. So this is like a standard kind of thing happens to every living entity.
Yes. That's the whole point, is by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, that's the only guarantee to not be overcome.
But he's trying hard. He prays and...
Yes.
And still it happens.
Still happens. Therefore, the importance of good association. You know, that way then everything starts to work.
Yeah. But even his children, they try to tell him something,
yeah, yeah.
And he wouldn't listen.
Yeah, but still, by their association, if he didn't listen, but then by their prayers, then it's corrected. Yes, like that. So that's the whole thing. If you can, by your own taking shelter of the Lord, great. But if you can't, then others, by them, they're taking shelter, and they're praying to the Lord, then everything works out. The father of all Prajapatis, Brahma, thus seeing all his Prajapati sons speaking in that way, became very much ashamed and at once gave up the body he had accepted. Later that body appeared in all directions as the dangerous fog and darkness. Okay. 33. Yes.
There's a lot of speculation going on. What is this body that he gave up? What was that body?
They're wondering if it was the eldest body, or, you know, which body it was. You know, so then, because if it's an eldest body, then you're not really sure if he's dead. You know?
It's like physical body or mental body, or what kind of body?
On his level, it doesn't really matter.
So we shouldn't worry about it.
No, because the point is the mental would be strong enough that it would do. Because the point is that particular form, if it's a mental body, then he's seeing that is useless, would completely give it up, while we have a tendency to want to give it up, or partially give it up, and partially we keep it, you know, for a rainy day or something, you know, like that. So if it's a subtle, then that's there. If it's a gross body, then the point is then, because he is who he is, he just generates another one. So it doesn't really matter. That's not the important point. The point for us is that the mentality that we have, that has to be given up. Like that. That's the main thing. Srila Prabhupada explains, the best way to compensate for one's sinful acts is to give up one's body at once. And Brahma, the leader of the living entities, showed this by his personal example. Brahma has a fabulous duration of life, but he was obligated to give up his body due to his grievous sin, even though he had merely contemplated it in his mind without having actually done it. This is a lesson for the living entities, showing how sinful an act it is to indulge an unrestricted sex life. Even to think of abominable sex is sinful. And to compensate for such acts, one has to give up his body. In other words, one's duration of life, blessings, opulence, etc. are decreased by sinful acts. And the most dangerous type of sinful act is unrestricted sex. Because Brahma is trying to generate proper population. We see that how much he was appreciating Rudra's expansion and population of the universe, right? So this kind of generation is not important. So that's the whole point. The unrestricted sex generates population that will be based on the mode of ignorance and passion. So of what good will they do for the world? So that's the real problem, because they're the ones that are going to create the problem. You see, Arjuna's whole difficulty in having the war was unrestricted population. Right? That's not properly generated. Is this like,
yeah.
So that's why it's considered the most difficult, because the whole point of human life is meant for elevation. So if we're not interested in elevation, then you end up with a population that also is not interested. And you don't need more of that. Less is okay. Right, this is where less is more.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, you want less of unqualified population. Right? Qualified means interested in self-realization. Unqualified means not interested.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, and so then by this also then one's blessings, opulence, everything get reduced. Right? That's the difficulty. Because it's not useful. So because of it not being useful, it also burns piety. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, or sinful life is the cause of gross ignorance. The feature of ignorance is darkness or fog. Darkness or fog still covers the whole universe, and the sun is the only counteracting principle. One who takes shelter of the Lord, the perpetual light, has no fear of being annihilated in the darkness of fog or ignorance. So when the sun comes out, because the sun is not affected by fog, when the sun comes, then the fog goes. So when there's knowledge, then the ignorance goes. So if you take shelter of Krishna, the fog of ignorance goes. That fog, that's Krishna. I mean, excuse me, that's Brahma's lust. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada places this unique incident in perspective in his purports to verses 29 to 31. 29. And 31. The sages knew very well that even though the father committed a mistake, there must have been some great purpose behind the show. Otherwise, such a great personality could not have committed such a mistake. It might be that Brahma wanted to warn his subordinates about human frailties and their dealings with women. This is always very dangerous for persons who are on the path of self-realization. 29th purport. It is said that a supremely powerful living entity can do anything and everything he likes, and such acts do not affect him in any way. For example, the sun, the most powerful fiery planet in the universe, can evaporate water from anywhere and still remain as powerful. The sun evaporates water from filthy places and yet is not infected with the quality of filth. Similarly, Brahma remains unpeachable in all conditions. But still, since he is the spiritual master of all living entities, his behavior and character should be so ideal that people follow such sublime behavior and derive the highest spiritual benefit. Therefore, he should not have acted as he did, 31st purport. And so, this is what the sons are worried about, that others may act in this way, or follow. Well, Brahma did it, so therefore I can do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they also understand Brahma must have a purpose in this. So he's showing that no matter who you are, you can become affected by all this. Right? So that's his whole point. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Maharaj, it also can show that when senior devotee is sex desire, we should just
try to Krishna. That's the main point. It means if we have some way to give influence, I think it's the other Chakrabarti. Krishna Bhajanamrita.
Narahari-sarkar, yes, the sarkar, not the chakrabarti.
Narahari-sarkar, he's mentioning about...
Lost the whole thread.
Yes, if you're in a position to do something, you do. If not, you go to those who can. Right? But then praying, that everybody can do. Right? So then it's just a matter of you can have, because the effect should be proper situation in Krishna consciousness. Right? This idea is that to dislodge people from Krishna consciousness because it's the just thing to do, because it is, because someone's done something wrong. This has zero benefit for anybody. You know, and zero we're being nice. It actually has a negative effect. It's very destructive. It's this idea that, no, but something's materially so wrong, it has to be corrected. The difficulty comes is the problem in correcting it, you may destroy the devotional process. Does that make sense? So one has to be very, very careful about these things. Like that. There's a science that has to be followed. And it's not that something's wrong, therefore that gives me the right to do anything. Just like I'm in charge, it gives me the right to do anything. No, everybody still has to follow whatever is the nature and activities, right, and the forms of their duties. Does that make sense? Yeah, otherwise then it gets real messy.
How come
we live our
lives when somebody, for example, is sick?
It depends on what's the mentality. If it's a matter of what's going on is wrong and they're able to understand that, then they go on performing the same duties. If they think that you know what's wrong with what they're doing, then better they're not preaching. Until they change that mentality. But the point, what I'm making, is that devotional service should still be going on. Right? It should be done in such a way that they're inspired to be involved in their devotional service. You know, just like somebody become involved, like what you had mentioned, and one devotee thought it was, you know, his duty and the right thing to do is to make it public, right? That's the modern thing. By making it public somehow or another, everything becomes perfect. Yes. Right? You know, like, what's it? Krishna says, of purifiers, I am gossip, right? The tabloids are a, you know, how you say?
Prajalpa Purana.
Yes, the Shastra of such a, you know. Does that make sense? So then that person became very embarrassed and kind of disappeared. So then Prabhupada got very upset with that devotee who made it public. He says, then you ruin the spiritual life. You'll be embarrassed. You won't continue. Because Prabhupada's point is, you know, it's either, you know, either marry this person or, you know, go back to how you were before. And, you know, but his point was the preaching was the most important. But it should be adjusted to where it's proper. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the preaching must go on, but at the same time as one tries to correct the mentality. Does that make sense? So it's a balance. It's very delicate. It's not, you can't establish a bureaucratic rule for this, because you have to deal with each individual and the situation specifically that matches that. Otherwise, then things won't work out very good. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, even those who are very learned and with great power of discernment cannot control lust. This verse shows that one should not remain alone with women. Maitreya says, we have heard, this indicates, though this should not be spoken, in order to give knowledge, I shall speak without fault finding, since I fear making offense. Right? We have heard, so he wants to be very careful here, because otherwise then there can be that aspect of offense. And it goes both ways. There's one of the there's a book written, the seventh generation after Ramanujacharya. And this book was written by one great devotee because he felt that the line was, so many things were, the etiquettes and everything was being mixed. So one of the points he points out is that someone's done something wrong. You know, so that has this problem. The person who criticizes the person will get an effect for that. He'll have problems. But the person who criticizes the person who's criticizing also gets a better. So the whole thing is because you're dealing with devotees, then there's a whole different method of taking care of it. So the idea is criticizing, no matter which side, which direction it's going, is never actually an option. Like that. So that's why it says that the Kumaras and Marichi, they were approaching very carefully. Like that. Is that what you think? Yeah, I even think it was, forget who it was. Somebody in the, you know, what is it called? How do you say it? Pentateuch? Pentateuch? You don't know. The five books. Okay. So, he was extremely drunk and really making a problem, and somehow or another he ended up with no clothes on. Right?
It was Noah.
That was Noah.
Okay.
Yeah, so then, you know, then I think his sons or somebody went into the tent with a blanket. They walked in backwards and then put the blanket on him and then walked out. You know, so he wouldn't be embarrassed. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It happens.
It happens.
You know, you get stuck on a boat with all these different animals for a long time. You know, things happen.
Well, one criticized him.
One criticism.
So he got cursed.
He got cursed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there's it's a standard principle. Yeah.
Well, what's the dealing with the devotees then?
I want to know if we should use, instead of blankets, use cheddar. more Vedic sleep.
You're a wolf.
Yes. Well, that would have been pure will also. They only have sheep. It's not that they had cotton fields out there or something.
Yeah.
They definitely weren't making rayon.
No.
It might have been camel hair, though. But generally with them, it's sheep or something.
So sometimes in dealing with these things, we have to kind of contemplate them and even discuss them amongst each other in order to figure out which way the behavior is wrong.
Right.
So should we approach each even at the principle?
Yes, the principle, because the detail is not important.
Mm-hmm.
Generally what I've heard in the past, devotees would talk, they would be getting into the detail.
Mm-hmm.
But the detail doesn't help make the decision. Because it's not so much about the detail, it's about the mentality, the position of the person, everything. That's what Manu mentioned. Means a punishment or whatever the situation is given according to the person, their position, their mentality, all these things have to be considered. It's not so much of what they've done. Because even if you have what they've done, how you decide who it applies to is the mentality. Like that. Does that make sense? But generally it's all about the detail. And the more grungy you can make the detail, then the more pleased they feel or confident they feel that they can deal in a more, you know, base way. Like that. But one tries to avoid like that. So it's like this. One, if one's in, like we said, one's in a position to have an effect, one takes that step. If not, approaches those who can. If not, then one prays. So it makes it easy. In other words, if it technically doesn't involve us, then we don't need to get involved. Right. Someone will take care of it. You know, because people like to deal with these things. It's not something
that's a problem.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say, if someone is intellectually or philosophically creating a problem, no one really wants to get involved.
But if someone's, you know, if there's a sensual problem, then everybody wants to get it. Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that. Yes.
And we see that it creates insecurity also, because it might happen to us, and then, you know, we on the cross.
Yeah. So, yes. And then the point is then there is no safe position. Yeah. There is no position of support, because if whoever you are, it's just going to be dealt with in a rough way, then why even make the attempt, or why take up any position in this and that, because at any point there's no security. So it should be, that's why it's understood, things happen, and so, because they were discussing before, it's like, I mean, I remember in the 70s, is that if these things happen, it's like maybe a sentence or something. Oh, you know, they, oh, yeah, so then we can talk, oh, no, he fell down or did this and that. And, oh, okay. You know, that nobody cared. So then whatever it was is the transformation of whatever it worked out. Either it's like, you know, they had a problem, they went back to where they were before and continued, they had a problem, they adjusted their position, but the point was is they just went on with devotional service. They were a manager that continued managing, but they just were in a situation that would work for them, like that. You know, so then this idea is that they're there and then removed and can't do anything, and that never was there before, because there was no sense of retribution. Because it was a Brahminical culture before. Retribution becomes very important when you're dealing with the common people. And then the ones to establish that are Kshatriyas. In the direction of the Brahmins. But if it's just the mass, then we always see how mass retribution works out. It never works out very good. You know? So it's always destructive. While the other, if it's done properly, people become inspired. Yeah, so one has to be very, very careful in this. Otherwise, then it doesn't work out much. Nice. So, he had fear that by fault finding he would fall down in the manner of Marichi's sons. Marichi's sons laughed at Brahma when he became attracted to his own daughter. They were later born as the sons of Devaki and were killed by Kamsa. That'll teach him. Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:85-47. The phrase also indicates that this incident was not seen by anyone in the present kalpa. We have heard, right? So it means he didn't see it.
Yeah.
Rather, it happened in a previous, distant kalpa, and is now being explained, since it cannot be accepted to have occurred after Brahma heard the four essential verses of Bhagavatam during the first day of Brahma's life. So it had to happen earlier. Right? Because first he's doing everything, and then he wants to know the essence. So then Krishna gives him the Chaturshloki, and then from there, then there's no problem. No?
Yeah, that was the previous discussion and how it all happened.
So this is before that.
Yes.
Does that work? Okay. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2936, follow my instructions in detail with extreme concentration. You will not be bewildered at any time during your lifetime and its subdivisions. So then we see from here on he's not. Okay, lifetime and its subdivisions. Okay. After accepting a more suitable body, Brahma considered how to best continue the creation. From this deliberation appeared the four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva. Further Vedic knowledge, medical science, military art, music, and architecture, because you have the Vedas, then you have the Upavedas. Right? The fifth Veda, the Puranas and histories, and the processes of fire sacrifice. Education, charity, penance, and truth are said to be the four legs of religion. And to learn this, there are four orders of life with different classifications of
of caste according to vocation. Oh, okay, so that means education is brahmachari, charity is grihastha, penance is vanaprastha, truth is sannyas. Yeah. Brahma created all these in systematic order. Srila Prabhupada explains, student life is meant for acquiring the best education. Household life is meant for gratifying the senses, provided it is performed with a charitable disposition of mind. Right? Because if you're enjoying the senses and you're distributing, you're sharing, then it keeps everything very, very on a nice level, very pleasant, interactive, community level, pure level, like that. If it's just one's enjoying the senses just on one's own, then it develops all bad qualities. You know, in the student life, as long as he's learning something, then you can say he's a student. Right? Does that make sense? You can say, well, why charity? Means, okay, now if let's say someone came given charity, what does that mean?
He's good. He's got money.
No, but if he gives in charity,
if
he can give in charity, that means he has something. Why would he have something? Because he's doing his job, he's successful. So those successful people can give in charity. Right? So that's the thing about the Vedic. They can catch just the one thing that from there, then everything else is established. Right? Yeah, like that. Retirement from household life is meant for penance, for advancement in spiritual life. And renounced life is meant for preaching the absolute truth to the people in general. The combined actions of all members of society make the whole situation favorable for the upliftment of the mission of human life. Right. The beginning of this social institution is based on education, meant for purifying the animal propensities of the human being. The highest purificatory process is known is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the purest of the pure. So in learning knowledge, it must come to that point where you understand the Lord. Then you can say you're educated. You know, then along the way, you develop skills and other things that you can use. But that's the most important. Because if you don't have that, why would you give in charity? Right? Why would you perform penance? Why would you preach? Right? And by having that knowledge, you have the basis. Then by those who are performing penance and knowledge, then you get that association. So then one is able to perform properly. Then with the whole society benefits. When the thread ceremony for the twice born was inaugurated, then the thread ceremony for the twice born was inaugurated right after you established the Vedas, right? The Vedas are branches of knowledge. Then you require the samskars, right? So of samskars, then the thread ceremony is the most important. As were the rules to be followed for at least 1 year after the acceptance of the Vedas. Rules for observing complete abstinence from sex life. Vocations in terms of Vedic injunctions. Various professional duties in household life, right? Because you've accepted the sacred thread ceremony, so therefore you're practicing as a brahmachari, right? So at least 1 year it should be done. You know, ideally it's more. Like ideal minimum is more like 12, right? But 1 year, okay, that's something. At least you did something. It doesn't have that much effect. But like the standard minimum is 4 years. If someone may join the Gurukul in the Vedic time at 12 and graduate at 16, because in the Vedic time, 16 you were adult. Now it's 18. Right? In some sense, so 4 years is there. But it's better you came younger. Mm-hmm. Right, and then stayed, and then better than that is you stay later than 16. You know, it just keeps expanding. Yes,
seemed like second initiation was more like on the varna, and today it's more in the ashram because we're talking about brahminical mentality.
Yes. So where is that gained?
Because
there's inherent and there's acquired.
Okay.
As far as qualification goes.
Okay.
So in the Vedic time, there would be inherent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And nowadays,
not so
it's acquired.
You know how you say, mode of goodness is an acquired
taste. It is. Rare.
Yeah. Well, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So therefore, through ashram, through the performance of the prescribed duties, through the sadhana and all that, we develop the brahminical qualifications, therefore, then it happens. But if it was going by a conditioned nature, then, you know,
tough luck.
A snowball is not going to make it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
What's the difference between vocations in terms of bidding injunctions and various professional agencies in household life? It seems to be aspects of the same.
Means these are all the things to learn. Means you had the vocations themselves in general. And what are the injunctions, then the various professional duties, then the specific duties. You know what I'm saying? You have a concept, then you have the specific duties. Like you can say vocations in terms of Vedic injunctions. What a Brahmin does, what a Kshatriya Vaishudra. Then there's the details of what you do. Right? Because then to do those, you would have to be in household life. Otherwise, Brahmacharis don't have a vocation. Right? They just render service. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So they're functioning technically just in the ashram. Only grihasthas technically function in varna. Though there is symptoms of the varna in their nature of their brahmachari ashram. So you engage them accordingly. But it's minor compared to what it is as a grihastha. Does that make sense? You know, it's just a flavor, not a major consideration. And the method of maintaining a livelihood without anyone's cooperation by picking up rejected grains. The four divisions of retired life are the Vaikanasas, Valakilyas, Audambaras, and Fenapas. The four divisions of the renounced order of life are the Kutichakas, Bahudakas, Mahamsas, and Anishkriyas. Right? So in the sannyas, it's a progression. Because you're trying to get to the Paramahamsa stage. Right? And so then, or at least to the Hamsa. Means, so the idea is the Hamsa is for preaching, but the Paramahamsa is mentality. But within the Vanaprastha, they're not a progression as such. They're just different ways, different vratas you can focus on to become renounced and detached.
It's a regression of material attachment.
Yes, you're just trying to do that. So whichever one works for you, you may use one, you may be use a combination like that. It doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not sure if he gives... Yes, no, he probably can tell us what they are. All were manifest... Oh. What's up? I see. Okay. So we'll hear tomorrow what Sri Vishnu Lal Chakravarti Thakur has to say.